When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And hold, riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking. Yeah, can none of y'all mirror me back? Yeah, hear me rap. It's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm young H.O. Raps great for dead. Back to take over the globe. Now break.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Miami Nice. I am one half of your partnership, Blake Howard, my undercover partner on the other side of the world, who carries me around on a small video device so she can transmit all the people she sees in person and relay messages, is my excellent Katie Walsh. Katie, it's so good to see you again.
This time, you could call me like the Vito. I mean, I'm carrying surveillance equipment. I'm live streaming Blake into situations so that he can, you know, participate like the surrogate in Arrested Development. This is going to be our new relationship where I just wear a GoPro on a hat and he'll just be there with me all the time.
A branded One Heat Minute Productions hat. But after overwhelming popular demand, and you could say overwhelming checkered flags are waving in the grandstands of our listeners, we had to invite this guest back. She's obviously an incredibly talented educator, a fantastic, phenomenal writer over at Brightwall Darkroom, one of my favorites and a shared favorite of a lot of the One Heat Minute fans since discovering her, and the great host of the Brightwall Darkroom podcast. It's Veronica Fitzpatrick. Welcome back to another Miami Nice. We are going to slip into a collateral confessions. We're going to focus, because we talked about a lot of steamy Miami Nights, which we're going to kick off really quickly, which is why this is sort of like a crossover episode, if you like. But thank you so much for coming back to talk to us again.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, from excitement to probably the most 2006 thing ever, this week it was brought to Katie's and our attention thanks to CK, who some of you guys would have read on the One Heat Minute Productions website, who's like our Michael Mann chronicler, found a series of quotes about the very arousing sex scene between Trudy and Rico in Miami Vice, and took us under the covers slightly with a little bit of some creepiness on that. So the tone of this is that it is slightly creepy. And it's probably, as I think Katie said before we started recording, the most 2006 shit ever. But we thought we'd bring it to the fans and introduce the show and get spicy first up. And then we'll get philosophical. Then we'll take a cab ride. Then we'll fall in love. And we'll go to the other side of the country where there's a little bit more decor. But this is Miami. The quote is... Jamie Foxx, firstly, I'll just give you the direct quote. Talking of Naomi Harris's body double, her body was, whoa! And number one. And number two was that when the body double came onto set and they were setting up the shot and hanging the light, she walked onto set, took off her robe and said, where do I go? And to cut to the chase, they're in bed together. Michael Mann says action. They were going at it and the covers came off. We're both nude. I heard cut, cut. Michael Mann came over and said, shit. I said, what's wrong? He said, I don't know if I can shoot this. And Fox said, that's black love, man. That's how we do it. There's jungle drums a playing. This is the most 2006 quote of all time, Katie Walsh. Holy heckers. I thought we have to unpack this.
My first response in the Discord was like, this is why we need intimacy coordinators. Like, this is why intimacy coordinators are now a thing, because, you know, I just sort of recognized that this person did not know like how a movie sex scene is supposed to be shot, and that everyone is supposed to be wearing their little pouches on their private parts. So anyway, I'm like, that's why we now have these, you know, people who come in and say, you can put your hand here, instead of someone just walking in and being like, oh, I fuck Jamie Foxx now. Like, we have to protect our body doubles. Anyway, Veronica, what do you think?
I mean, I, as big a proponent of black love as I am, I just think I'm also like, who is the body double? It's
Let's
a really mysterious, like, anonymized kind of account of what this was like. But I mean, I have to imagine that this is a little bit of when people confuse preparedness to do one's job with a kind of like more intimate up for itness or something. Like a much, much worse hyperbolic version of when people I know think like servers are flirting with them. And I'm like, no, no, this is a charisma industry. Like these people are trying to make tips and clock out. But I mean, that I just think the framing of the anecdote with like, she came in and like removed her robe and was like, where do I go? As if like looking for one's mark is somehow telling of a lot more than that. It's
interesting. Yeah, that is interesting.
Have you guys seen the movie Official Competition?
Yes, no. I love that movie so much.
Veronica, you should see it. I thought it was a Katie Walsh movie immediately, and it takes the piss out of this kind of this machismo. And there's a moment where the two lead actors there's a love triangle. It's a film about a making of a film with a lot of these incredibly famous people within a film, and so you've got Antonio Banderas, and he's just absolutely wildly fantastic as this total dullard, vapid kind of guy. And there's
movie
one scene,
movie star,
the worst of the worst, but he's so fun in it. Veronica, I think you would just get a kick out of it. But
it's Penelope Cruz, right? Also,
Penelope Cruz plays the director,
right?
And this is actually one of the first times they were in a movie together, even though they've been in so many Pedro Almodovar films. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't in any scenes in Pain and Glory, because mm-hmm. she plays his mother in the flashbacks. Right. Anyway, they were like, we want to be in a movie together. So this is what the movie that they did.
And the whole time, her stern face looking at him being just a baby is fantastic. Anyway, so there's a great scene where he has to practice kissing who's going to be his love interest. And it's so hilarious. And like, I can't speak Spanish, but the translation here is he's like, okay, you know, like they hold each other. Okay, we're going to kiss. Yeah. And he goes, I'm sorry if I get a boner. And then he kisses her. And it's so like, it's so funny because it's this really vapid actor who's like so silly, but it's like, that's the kind of, as soon as I read this, that's what I thought of. I thought of Official Competition. I was like, this is a really dopey actor, very attractive, who's very high on his own supply, and is just like, you know, I'm going to be so passionate about this that I'm not going to have any control. And it's just like, it's so silly and fun. And so but that's less fun is this actual quote. More fun is Antonio Banderas in Official Competition. So when I was reading it, I was like, that's kind of that. And it's also, it's just quite funny how for everything else that can be prepared, I wonder why a sex scene wasn't like more, you guys are going to do this and you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. And the entire
because
energy,
it was 2005.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, but on the other side, I'm just like, you could have probably told Colin Farrell and Gong Li that they had to wear patches and they could only touch here. And I don't imagine that either of them were listening to any of those instructions. And I'm very happy with that, to be honest. I'm quite happy with them ignoring all those instructions.
It is interesting because they do, like, the sex scene as we see on screen ends up being like really tender and beautiful and like very relationshipy. It's not porny in any way. So it's interesting what they ended up getting on screen.
And in this real sex scene in Miami Vice, before we pivot over to LA, Michael Mann's like, I've got to put some indie Ari over this. I'm ready for love. So I don't turn this into
that's
a
how he fixed it.
Yes, exactly.
Slow it down.
He's like, I've got just the thing.
Indie Ari, and then it's not going to be full blown porn in my movie.
And not to be a hater, but it's a lot better than, you know, Florence Pugh just riding Cillian Murphy and like talking about Bhagavad Gita. Not to be an Oppen hater, but I will go there.
No, and Katie, if there's a subset of the community out there, like, they learn some new kinks with Barbenheimer, you know, like it, with both of those movies, kinks are plenty to discover. So good on you and for your journey of self-discovery, I guess.
It's better not awaken anything in me.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sanskrit.
Oh, Sanskrit. Yeah. Learn Sanskrit. There's people writing that down. Don't. Okay. We are professionals, Veronica. We are here to talk to you about another Michael Mann film. I know your favorite LA Mann film is obviously Heat, but Collateral's, and as is mine, but Collateral, like with a lot of great directors, you've got like a, I think, a traffic jam of your favorites of theirs, you know, where they're really on fire.
Aptly put,
Yeah, we love Collateral. Katie's favorite Mann film is Collateral. Such a lean, mean movie. Can you tell us about your feelings of Collateral? Because we got to talk a lot in depth about the steamy love and the all of the fantastic, you know, impressionistic stuff. But this is like a meaty, like a genre, a fantastic exemplar of like great genre movies. So can you tell us about your feelings of Collateral?
Man, yeah, I can. I'm a huge fan of Collateral. I just rewatched it last week, and then I watched it again this morning to be like extra brushed up. And it just helps that it's on Netflix right now. But I remember talking about Speed in the last episode, and it's something I just can't stop talking about ever. And I feel like it's so interesting to me thinking about these two movies together as kind of like failed LA infrastructure films, movies about like driving basically and like highways versus surface streets. I'm a huge Tom Cruise movie fan. This is great because it's one of the like many Cruise films where he seems like he's playing some facet of himself, but like obviously a less typical facet, more in the Magnolia exploring one's sociopathy kind of vein, and that's really exciting to me. I don't even mind this kind of I am the wolf, like grayed out hair situation that he's sporting throughout. Again, as with the other Mann films, like there's so much male lead chemistry between them, so much even among the kind of romance subplot that's also motivating things, the like dream of getting out of the sort of operation and finding one's purpose elsewhere. There's so much, such a collision of like elements that I love in other Michael Mann films, but also just in other films generally.
There's a terrific, like, I think it went around the talk show circuit. Jamie Foxx auditioned for Jerry Maguire for the Cuba Gooding Jr. role. And there's a really funny little clip about him being in the room with Tom Cruise and being a vastly less experienced, but man, his learning curve over less than a decade went from like a guy who couldn't even do the audition, wasn't up to the audition process with Jerry Maguire, to a guy who's like facing off against Tom Cruise in a Michael Mann movie, you know. So, but he talks about like how he was trying to go in there and had a bluster, and he was doing this thing, and Tom Cruise was doing this very small, tiny performance, and he was meant to be big, and he wasn't ready to interact. He was ready to like perform, but not listen, because as a stand-up comedian, ready to perform, but not listen and engage. And so I think that that's also that light years thing. Exactly as you said, that chemistry is so electric. Such an amazing one. But Katie, like, this is your favorite LA movie of all time. So I think, you know, it's good. Is there anything there that like harmonizes with what you're talking about? I know you love Dirtbag Cruise in this. That's a, you know, the grayed out Dirtbag Cruise is one of your faves.
Well, I love, Veronica, that you compared this to Speed, which is another one of my favorite movies. And it's sort of like, if speed is speed, then Collateral is like slow. Like, I mean, even though it's not always slow, but they're like the surface streets versus the highways, like, I think they're two interesting foils to each other. Mm. And yeah, and these travelogues over a certain period of time, it's very contained, and you're in a vehicle with a specific group of people who are getting thrown together. You know, obviously in Collateral, it's like two or three people, and in Speed, it's an entire bus. But and then there's like the elements of what's happening outside of the vehicle, mm-hmm. in terms of the Dennis Hopper of it all versus mm-hmm. Vincent's quest to assassinate all these people and the little stops they make on the way. So I think they're, I had not quite identify that these movies are basically sort of like inverted negatives of each other. Like one's during the day and one's at mm-hmm. night. And so it's like, huh, maybe that's why I like both of these
right?
movies so much.
And then just ending up in like the exact same place somehow with
yes,
this like
on
extended
the freaking
train
subway.
Episode. Yeah.
Yes. And in Speed, it's like the half built mm-hmm. Subway. And then obviously in Collateral, it's maybe 10 years later and it's actually mm-hmm. functional.
They finished it.
Yeah, thank God.
After all the damage that was done at the end of Speed,
right?
Destroyed the subway.
They really got set back a few years with the end of Speed. So yeah, I know that's really like very interesting, you know, comparison to make there. So yeah, and I think what I like about both of the films is there is a propulsiveness, obviously, mm-hmm. which comes from like being in motion and like a momentum. It's sort of like, when Collateral starts, you just can't stop watching it. Like mm. you just, even when, like when he, it's the opening with LAX and mm-hmm. all that stuff, it's just like, there's a propulsiveness, a momentum that you like cannot get off this car ride. And mm-hmm. and the same with Speed. It's like this bus, you know, you can't get off the speeding bus. So, yeah, and just like even the star power of it all. I mean, obviously, I think Speed was this like, you know, you're taking Keanu, who's been in all of these other things, is kind of like a mopey guy. But I guess no, he was in Point Break. But anyway, but turning him into this real action star, I feel like that was his real.
Yep, shaving his head and just saying, "Get in there."
Yes. And, you know, I love a 90s buzz cut, as one of my former students pointed out to me on Twitter, with regard to the Mission Impossible haircut that Tom Cruise sports mm-hmm. in Mission Impossible. And I was just rewatching LA Confidential, and Russell Crowe has the mm-hmm. worst fucking buzz cut of all time.
He does. Still hot. Still. Maybe his hottest.
And yeah.
Definitely his hottest.
Yeah.
But Tom, who already was an action star, kind of exploring his dark side in Collateral. So yeah, it's just, they're really interesting companion pieces.
I Veronica and Katie, you talking about that, I just also love that the cab and the bus, the destruction of both of those things, like, are almost like the most powerful point in both of these movies structurally, in that like the cab locks you in just like the bus for so much of it, and you're wondering if you're ever going to be liberated from this goddamn space, because it's like we're stuck in the cab and there's a body in the back and there's this and that and it's got all the equipment and Vincent's the only one allowed in and out. And as we can see, much with Dennis Hopper's character in Speed, mm-hmm. he's like, he's allowed in and out, but you know, Keanu and Sandra, they're not allowed out of the bus. They're mm-hmm. They're in it together. So they come back in and they interact with one another. And then it's like, you do the same thing in both movies, I feel, is that you get to this point where the bus runs, you know, is at the airport, it's carting around there, the plane blows up, and then the cab, he flips the cab, and you're like, where can the movie go? And that's actually, you're actually safe in the bounds of that, because then when that stops, you have no idea what is going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And the environment letting him out, it's like when he's caged in, he's actually more controlled, rather than, you know, both villains in that movie, but when they're uncaged, untethered from this thing that's keeping them there, it's like they're much more unhinged and they're going to kill mm-hmm. more people and they're going to just be more wild and it's going to be more explosive. And I that was something that was really that connection to me is like, that's that fusion of both these movies, and it's so great. And the pacing, now that you say it, the pacing is almost, must be like nearly identical. Like, it's like if you ran them side by side, it's like, I wonder if the running time, if they exactly coincide, because it's that perfect sort of implicit, like, this is the perfect time for things to happen, which is the kind of miracle of speed, and the perfection of the collateral script by the time it comes to be shot.
Yeah, I love a kind of classical Hollywood, like, there's a problem, let's solve it. Now there's another problem, let's solve it type of rhythm.
Yes, yes.
And also love movies where it's like a quest, basically, where we know at the beginning we're going to need to do A, B, and C. And so we have to do A, B, and C before the end of the film. I just rewatched Interstellar, and it occurs to me that, like, in a very abstract way, it's exactly the same, like, structure in terms of, like, we have to visit these different people / places. We're not going to finish the film until we've done all of that, more or less. And that's one of the things I love about Collateral, that there's just kind of by the numbers aspect to it. So that even though there are certainly surprises, the fact that, you know, Max is like our surrogate audience member when we find out that the jazz guy is going to be killed, because that should take us by surprise as much as it takes him by surprise, things like that. There's still a kind of pleasing like predictability to the plotting that feels like a really nice container for me for some of the more like bonkers performance moments.
Well, you mentioned classical Hollywood, and one thing I was thinking about as Blake was talking is, like, you know, the body in the trunk is like the bomb on the bus.
Totally.
And it
their
offers,
touch of evil moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but it's like the it offers stakes, and, but in this contained way. And when I was in film school and we were learning about sort of like the restrictions that, you know, filmmakers will put on themselves in order to creatively get out of this problem, like, it reminded me also of Rope. And Hitchcock, and like how we're in this room and there's the body, and it's like, you know, obviously Hitchcock put the creative restrictions on himself of only having certain, you know, a certain number of shots, but it's the same thing. It's like there's a body and there's these two people, and we're, you know, what are the, how can we you know, extract as much tension and suspense and conflict from this very specific contained situation. So it strikes me that both of these films are very like indebted to these sort of puzzles, these filmmaking puzzles that and classical filmmaking obviously too. So yeah, it's just interesting to make those comparisons.
It's an addictive quality when you walk into someone's house and they've half done a puzzle. You know, like, you know, and you look like on the, you know, I go to at my auntie's place, and if there's a puzzle on the table, like, you can't help but just sort of walk over while you're having a conversation and start like putting it together. Is that like and that's what these movies are. That's why they're so infinitely rewatchable. All of the ones that you just mentioned is because you're like, oh, I just love puzzles. I just love how good this puzzle is put together and how intricate it is. And if one part falls away and those little puzzle pieces, then I think with both of these movies, despite like being such delightful puzzles, they also have these great views and very socioeconomically, you know, sociopolitically specific time periods that are captured in or couched in this puzzle. Like, one of my favorite scenes, now that we go back to it like pretty regularly and talk about it, is I love there's Bodie Elfman and Debbie Mazar playing a young couple just like piss off arguing in the cab. Like, that's those little splashes, or Jamie Foxx speaking Spanish as to, you know, at his favorite, you know, gas station attendant to, you know, talking shop or this and that or the traffic today or da 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 da. And then he just goes off and does his thing. That is like so baked in that, like, they're the bits that the puzzle, or like the momentum of the puzzle allows you to sort of like, I'm comfortable. I know that they're going to do these things. I don't have to worry about that. And it allows you to sort of like look outside of the myopia of like the drive of the movie, of both movies, and it starts going like, oh, like, let's peer over here. What, how are they doing this? And then all of that Michael Mann stuff, you know, international drug cartels and that sort of thing, just all that starts to come through so strong. And I love that. So yeah, as soon as I start watching it, before we do these shows, I usually have it on the day before, like the movie playing mm-hmm. in the background, and I'm sort of walking in and out of it because I've seen it so many times. But like, I never walk away when Debbie Mazar is like putting on her makeup and absolutely ripping into Bodie Elfman. It's fantastic.
I know, they suck you in. I really never felt quite the same since I lost what I had to gain.
No one to blame. No one to blame. That concludes part one of our latest chat with Veronica Fitzpatrick, the incredible educator and driver behind the Bright Wall Dark Room podcast. Check out her stuff at brightwalldarkroom.com. You can check out everything there, all of the links in the show notes to her other stuff as well. Thank you so much from me, Blake Howard. I have been one half of your hosting team, oneheatminute.com, at OHMpods on Twitter. I am at oneblakeminute. And if you want to check out my incredible co-host, the incredibly talented LA Times critic, Katie Walsh, you can find her at Katie Walsh STX on Twitter, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Miami Nice / Collateral Confessions very, very soon. Keep looking through the window pane, just trying to see through the pouring rain. It's hearing your name.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.